Shalom, everyone, and Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host, and, of course, our teacher, Sheila Crawford, is here. So get your Bible, some paper, a pen, and get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word. Did you hear me? I said enjoy, because it's enjoyable. We're going to look through the eyes of our first century Jewish forefathers from their perspective and not just our Western thought. Let's begin, as we always do, with a prayer. Hodu le'Adonai ki tov, le'lam chasdo. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And we do thank You, Lord, for Your great salvation You make available to anyone. You've made it available to us through trusting Your Anointed One. And we apply His blood to the doorposts of our hearts, and You save us. We lift up to You those prayer requests that came in this week. Please answer them according to Your mercy and the power of Your Holy Spirit. And we invite Your Holy Spirit tonight to enlighten our understanding of Your prophets, because the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Yochanan.
You are welcome.
Who, by the way, is the music director at Shofar Assembly, which is always the first Friday of every month, and that will be November 2nd, coming up soon.
Very soon.
And you know what else is coming up?
Guess what else is coming up? The CUFI, we call it the Kufi event, and that's Christians United for Israel. That event's coming up this Saturday. Okay, and it's at 8 a.m. That's when the registration begins. And it's a nice conference. It'll last till 1 p.m. And you have great speakers. A couple of the topics they'll be covering: reasons for the Arab Spring and anti-Israel activity on our college campuses. It's just a couple.
And a bunch of other stuff.
So space is limited. It's right at the church on the North Coast. The church on the North Coast is called 7635 Granger Road. Anyway, it's in Valley View, Ohio. Space is limited, and they do request that you RSVP them at the following email: cufi.org/events. Got it? Got it. And I'll be there as well.
Yes, you are. And you're going to be playing the music?
I'll be playing music along with the amazing Michael Lefton.
Michael Lefton, what a great keyboards.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Great musician.
Praise God. God gives Christians some good talent.
Yes, He does.
And we are here at WHKW every week, where I can't say that enough, I truly enjoy sharing the deeper truths of God, especially on eschatology, looking at how current events is definitely fitting into the end time puzzle.
It sure is. And we do want to remind you that you can re-listen to any of the past shows. You can re-listen to this show, and you can listen to any of the past shows by just going to our webpage, shofarministries.com.
Or net.
Or net.
Actually, net.
Actually, it's net. Okay.
Well, I don't know how com got in there, but
I don't know. It sounds like a com, you know,
I think at one point someone did tell me that I had both. But
you had both?
Whatever.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to open the phone lines early tonight for your questions concerning end times, which would, of course, include Israel, because Israel happens to be the major sign of the end times. And that number for you to call is 888-677-WORD or 9673. Okay?
Yes, please call in. Israel is actually the fig tree that Jesus said to pay attention to and has been budding since 1948. And while we were on that subject, I believe Jesus referred to the fact that when Israel does begin to bud again, that was 1948,
mm-hmm.
that the clock starts ticking mm-hmm. to the final time when Jesus returns. And mm-hmm. before that generation ends, the rapture will occur. And in other words, some people who were alive at that time, 1948, would still be alive at His calling us up.
Wow. So then 1948, what's a generation? How many years would that be?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because in some cases, a generation can be 40 years. Or sometimes, according to contextual evidence, can be the average age of a person, especially in the latter days. And Psalm 90, verse 10, has that kind of end of days connotation, actually, the whole Psalm 90. And Psalm 90 is where it speaks, you know, of a day as a thousand years.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly in verse 10, it says our average lifespan is 70 years and no more than 80. Why don't you just read that for our listeners?
Okay, yes, I'd be happy to. I'll start here in the middle of verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
All right, there's the rapture for sure.
And you know, I was thinking 70, though, is a good number because it's the number of completion. And so you would add 70 to 48, what would you come out with?
Well, you don't know.
No, I got my calculator here. I think it would be 2000.
Around 2018.
2018?
And, you know, we have to remember that in the middle of the tribulation is when they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So it's not like it has to be a total of all that time. I don't know. Only God does. But, you know, we've talked a lot on the subject of 70 and 7 so many times, like Daniel's 70 weeks. And
captivity.
You know, yeah, the Jews were in Babylon for 70 years and then set free. I think there's a little picture here.
Ooh.
And something to think about is, okay, the Jews are in Israel, right?
Right.
And as God said, they would be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really free.
That's right. Because they're still being persecuted by Muslims, and their lives are always in danger.
Oh,
just today,
are.
You know, there were rockets coming in from Gaza. So they're not totally free just yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And, of course, anything is possible with God, and he has everything under control. And we're supposed to worry for nothing.
Mm.
All we're supposed to do is spread the good news. But I do get excited to know that I was born, well, I don't want to say.
But no, don't say that.
I'm definitely part of that generation that if it's 70 years from 1948, I could be in that gathering.
Me too. Me too. Me too. Add 70 in 1948, so we're out of here in 2000. No, we won't go there.
We won't go there, but, you know, it is winding down. And, well, if the president that we have now continues, America's going down the tubes quickly, and America's not talked about in the Bible in my estimation, okay?
Oh, okay.
And he does say in Jeremiah, I think it is 30, around verse 11, I'm guessing now because it's not in the script, but,
oh,
but
no.
He says that he will make a full end of all the nations where he has scattered the Jews.
That's right.
Simple.
Yeah.
So I believe that, and I think America is going down the tubes.
Well, you think we're included in that, in those nations?
Well, why wouldn't we be?
Okay.
I mean, we have more Jews than anybody else.
I know.
Or had.
Had.
I think we have a little less than Israel now. It's growing quickly.
I'm surprised Israel hasn't annexed Florida.
Yeah, really.
Okay.
But if America keeps going down the tubes like it is and anti-Semitism keeps growing, more Jews will go home.
You think?
Especially after Psalm 83. Because I believe that's the war where their boundaries will expand, and they'll have more room.
And they'll have way more room. They'll be back to the borders probably that were promised to Abraham.
I think so.
And that's a lot of land.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, since we're talking on the Jews tonight in Israel and being set free from Babylon after 70 years, I have a couple trivia questions for you.
What do I win?
Okay. You win. To be on another week with me, I don't know.
Oh, my.
I'm just kidding. All right, here's your question.
Okay.
And anybody else that's listening out there, see if you can answer this. Who did Isaiah prophesy in chapters 44 and 45 would let the Jews go back home?
Okay, that's an easy one. It was King Cyrus.
You're very right. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, but another typology. Did God refer to Cyrus as something else? Particularly in around verse 28, which I don't want you to look up.
Hmm.
And I don't think you're going to know this. But he referred to Cyrus as, any ideas?
As, you know, I don't have a clue.
Well, unless you memorize scripture, I can see why you wouldn't. I didn't either, but I looked it up.
Not
as God's shepherd, his shepherd. He called him my shepherd. And I just
thought, in Isaiah.
Yes. In Isaiah.
And he called Cyrus my shepherd.
44:28. He called Cyrus my shepherd. And he goes on to say, and Cyrus shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built. And that's exactly what happened. He sent the Jews home and he told them, build the temple. And he says, your foundation shall be laid. And then in the next chapter, 45, he continues with, and he says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings.
Well, it sounds like he's talking about the Messiah.
I know. It's definitely a typology here.
It has to be. Cyrus is a type of, in this portion
in
of Scripture.
In this particular portion, yes. Now, it goes on to say, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. So, Cyrus gave the Jews their freedom and set them free. But, one more trivia question for you.
Oh, no.
Do you know what his name means in Hebrew, according to the Jones Book of Names?
Well, since you qualified it with that, no. I do know.
Jones goes a little deeper in okay. stuff.
I do know the Hebrew name for Cyrus is Koresh. Koresh. But I do not know what that means.
The sun, S-U-N.
Wow.
Yeah. Especially since Malachi 4 calls Jesus the Son of Righteousness and spells it S-U-N.
Wow.
And I think it's also interesting because he is the light of the world. But the sun was created at the end of the fourth day, and Jesus came at the end of the fourth day, the beginning of the fifth day.
That's cool.
I know. It is.
That is so cool. And, of course, that always all makes sense when you have prophecy and you're studying your Hebrew roots, then this stuff just kind of leaps off the pages to you. And what about those double doors?
What about those double doors?
I think of the temple when I hear that double doors.
Well, the Eastern Gate, which I have been, has been closed up, and they're double doors for centuries
now.
They are double doors, and he's going to break through those doors when he returns at the end of the tribulation. So I just see a lot of typology here, and I just want to encourage you that if you're out there and you don't understand typology, all it is pictures of the future. Jesus, sometimes the enemy quite a bit, Satan, all those things.
Yeah.
So it just makes the Bible more interesting to look for pictures.
It sure does. And the one with Cyrus calling him the shepherd and giving him, telling him. And it reminds me, there's another chapter in Isaiah where he's actually talking about Satan, but he's using the prince of, or the king of Tyre or something instead. So that's
That's other pictures.
Yeah, so I see Isaiah doing this with the pictures. I see God doing this through Isaiah with the pictures in another verse, so I know.
And actually, I had a mentor that said that every single story in the Bible is a picture of something else.
Oh, I know. And
single story.
You know what a picture, the whole Bible, the prophecy,
Well, in Hosea 12:10, he says, I speak through Dema, which is pictures.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, or mentioned in the prayer, that the spirit of the testimony of
Jesus
is the spirit of prophecy.
I know.
Why aren't churches teaching prophecy then?
I don't know.
Because then they're teaching Jesus.
Breaks my heart. But tonight, we will continue our discussion on Israel from last week, where we gave many scriptures concerning their right to the land.
Yeah, and I hope you all looked those up and underlined them in your Bibles as part of your studies. And that's how you can study along with us. You just write down the scriptures, go back later and look them up.
And we are so blessed to be able to have it taped and put on the webpage so that you can go back and study it again and concentrate, pause it, chew on it, start it over.
Right, and you can fast forward through
the junk.
And there's very little of that.
No, of course. Yeah. But the land covenant, just to refresh from last week, the land covenant between God and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about that in Genesis 28 and again in Genesis 35. It's specific that the land of Israel in Genesis 15 was given to Jacob's descendants. The original borders are from the Nile River to the Euphrates. And again, I'm thinking that the War of Psalm 83 is going to achieve that again.
Yeah, and that might happen, next year?
Oh, I'm telling you, the way things are going over there in Syria and Lebanon, and they're fighting against each other, and for sure I can see it spilling over into Israel, and Israel will not tolerate that.
I know. They didn't tolerate the missile attacks today, and they answered them pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly.
Now, that leaves, after you look at the land for the descendants of Isaac, mm-hmm. that leaves the rest of the Middle East to the descendants of Ishmael mm-hmm. and Esau's descendants. Now, that's a very large area that God said he would give to them, and he did.
Isn't it actually larger than the United States?
It's huge.
It is huge.
Yes.
I've seen it. It takes up quite a bit of the globe when you see it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So they have the land, but they want even more of it.
Hmm.
They don't want Israel to be alone, to be left at all.
Oh.
Of course, when their God is Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
we know why they think like that.
Yep. And that's exactly why they change. Well, before we continue with that topic, I've got to ask you the question. Is there any news we should be hearing about tonight?
I'd say so.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to touch for a second on the debates last night. It was on foreign policy, which Romney, I didn't think he shined real well on. But again, you have to remember that until you sit as commander-in-chief, you really don't get the inside information. You just can't. And we know even Barack Obama didn't have any experience, basically, in foreign policy in 2008.
Yeah, when it comes to foreign policy, who you have advising you is really the
That's
key.
That's right. That's right. And he did not have the best advisors. I do believe that Romney will.
Hmm.
Probably a lot of his Israel advising.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'd like to see.
And
actually.
We know God's behind that, so,
yep.
you know. And as I said before, I still think Obama is planning something to build him up, some agreement, possibly with Iran, that they'll pretend to agree to halt its enrichment.
Oh, yeah, just in time for the elections, of course.
Yes, because actually there are some reports of this already happening behind the scenes. And I would think Iran would go along with Obama and lie about how the sanctions are hurting them to get him reelected, because I don't think they want to deal with Romney.
No, I think actually the Muslim countries do want Obama as as president, and that should tell you something right there.
That's right.
You know, Romney would be a good vote just to...
Well, because they know that Romney supports Israel.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to deal with him. So I could see Iran actually saying, okay, Obama, you really got me now. I mean, you won. Mm. We're going to stop enriching. And then, of course, only do it until after the elections, and then they'll start up again because they lie.
Well, yeah, and a vote for Romney could thwart Iran's plans.
That's right.
It could. I mean, if he actually wins. But they say it's pretty close.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a nail-biter.
Yeah, okay.
And less yielding than Obama has been. He's been very yielding with him, with mm-hmm. Iran. I mean, he's just, okay, sure, he's put some sanctions in place, but they've been very weak, and it's just been recently that he really made them tougher because of all the pressure.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So anyway, I did want to hear a little more talk on the lack of the American security in Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reason Obama didn't send more American security, even after he was asked, and instead only let the Muslim security watch over our ambassador.
Yeah, and you were talking about this earlier in the helicopter on the way over here. I mean, in the car on the way over here. I don't think I fooled anyone there. But you might have some insight as to why this happened the way, you know, especially you watched that documentary, that 2016, Obama 2016?
Yes, I did.
I watched it. It was good.
It was good. It taught me a lot. It gave me a lot of facts. I have been trying to connect the dots. It's just been a challenge to me, this Obama guy.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think I've got him pretty much connected, but not all. And a question that I'm often asked is, do I think he's a Muslim? And I've been asked that many times. And after a lot of research, which, and by the way, I'm going to expound in my next newsletter, is rather simple once you see it. I really think, in my opinion, he's an Islamic socialist. Now, that's a combination that is not really uncommon in many parts of the Muslim world. They might not call it that. But he had both of those worlds growing up between his mom, his supposedly biological father, his stepfather, and his card-carrying communist, very close mentor, who many say might have been his real father. But since he was actually married to another at the time Barack Obama was born, the mother instead married someone else and paid him well to do so, I understand, which is why he took off and was never around. But that's neither here nor there. A couple of points I want to make, because current affairs is the lens, I think, that brings Bible prophecy into focus. Sharia law, in a big sense, is that combined ideology of Islam and communism. There's no real freedom, especially for women. The major difference between the two ideologies is that Islam uses Allah, while socialism uses atheism.
Mm-hmm.
But both fight the God of Judeo-Christianity. You know, free democracies like us are alien to Islam and socialism because we regard government as a servant to the people and believe that human rights are from God, where they believe the opposite. Now, what I'm trying to say, or in what I'm about to say, please, you certainly don't have to agree with me. This is just a possible scenario, and it's not set in stone, okay? And I think, as President of the United States, Obama was in a quagmire over Benghazi between protecting American lives and being loyal to Islam. And that could explain why the demands for American security, instead of Libyan security, which was made by the ambassador, went unanswered.
So you say Obama was in a catch-22 situation there. He was...
If he's really trying to stay loyal to...
To Sharia law?
To Sharia law or to the Muslims, but... And I know that sounds harsh, and maybe I'm wrong, but it is possible that Obama did not want to be the one responsible for American Marines shooting at Muslim attackers to save American lives. And the reason for that is...
Why would that be? That's my question.
According to Sharia, it is a capital crime for a Muslim to shoot another Muslim for the purpose of protecting Americans.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Huh. But it's okay if it's, you know, if it's for doing something else, but if you're protecting
Americans. A Muslim can't shoot another Muslim.
So
that would make Obama, who tells other Muslim nations that he's a Muslim, which, by the way, he has, would make him a violator of Sharia and an apostate, and therefore a good reason for Obama to be assassinated. Maybe he didn't want to take that chance. But the bottom line, Muslims want Americans out of the Middle East.
Yep.
And Obama is trying to assist in that. And for sure, Commander-in-Chief. Now, that's why we've gotten out of Iraq. That's why we're getting out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of Al-Qaeda, this definitely does not want Americans shooting Muslims, and why he wants us out for sure.
That's puzzling.
And it's, yeah.
Do you think Obama felt he would be blamed for going against Sharia?
It's possible.
And he opted to get the Muslim security for that reason, to guard the embassy?
Yeah, so he wouldn't get blamed for it, but the plan was useless, and he had to know that the Muslim guards would most likely follow Sharia.
Yeah, wouldn't he? Yeah.
And so they ran away and left the Americans to be killed. Now, I have to say, at one time, a month or two ago, I heard that the perpetrators really just wanted to kidnap the ambassador and the three, to hold them for an exchange of the blind sheik. But something went awry.
Well, that is a lot of intrigue.
this is a lot of intrigue. It's like we should be on, what is that, detective show, CSI or something.
No, there's so much going on, and it's like you said, it's a little hard to, difficult.
Yeah, and we don't need to. It's just, you know, I'm trying to set the stage for America and what's going to happen and that kind of thing. But regardless of the details, I am convinced they all listen to demons, who are increasing and getting stronger, because these days are getting darker, for sure.
They sure are.
And, you know, I think now's the time for a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some history of Israel and Jerusalem, that holy city.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer. Once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its street, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore.
Welcome back to the Shofar
wow.
Ministries Hour. Hey.
What a voice, huh?
What a voice. Who was that?
That was actually Jim Nabors.
Jim? That was?
Yeah. Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle.
Yeah.
Wow, he's still around.
Wonderful
too.
Voice. Yes, he's still alive. I think he lives in Florida.
It's an interesting song. Why did you pick that song?
Well, I picked that song because I wanted it to be the holy city, because on my last night of Israel, on one of my trips, I can't remember which one, but we were leaving Jerusalem on the bus, and the tour guide actually played this on the overhead. And everybody started weeping because we were just leaving Jerusalem. We weren't going to see it again for a long time. And we just cried. Everybody was just, the tears were coming. And since we're talking about Israel, and of course that includes Jerusalem, I just thought that song was fitting, and he does such a wonderful job at it.
I hope someday in the near future I can have a moment like that visiting the land. And just want to mention, listener, if you have a question for Sheila or you would like her to speak, maybe at your church, your home group, or you have a great big group somewhere we don't know about, but you can let her know. Just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A. Or just call the office. That's what I do, 440-834-9006. And I've got some important reminders for you. Your donations are still tax deductible, and they're still very much needed to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio. Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N. 44021, or you can use PayPal on the website. Any donation will put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your address, whether it's email or a house address.
Email is easy for me because you can just print your own copy out and share it with others, or just forward to someone you care about. But do share the information, especially the many gold nuggets that it does contain. Some great teachings, and they are also all archived on shofarministries.net.
And I keep forgetting to ask you, would you put me on that list? I have a stack of the papers.
I will do that.
Thank you. And be sure to check out our webpage, and all the newsletters and previous radio shows are there for you. They're archived. And you can order DVDs as well for teaching. The lines are open. Phone lines are open. The numbers for your messianic eschatological questions.
Very good, John.
Thank you. I'm glad I could say that. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m., so why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for this Friday and the first Friday of every month, because we are at Chester Christian
Center. It's not this Friday, is it?
No. But it says that here. And
I know, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Next Friday, I meant to say.
Yes, okay. That would be the...
week from Friday.
It's always the first Friday of the new
year. Yes,
month.
If you just remember that, you'll get it.
Yes, that's right. And that's in Chesterland, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306. And it begins at 7 p.m.
With your worship.
With some worship music from yours truly here. And of course, last time we had the wonderful Melanie Pierce.
Yes, wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Good time.
Good time.
Now, let's get back into giving some more scriptures and talking about Israel, because there's a lot to cover here.
Mm. Right.
And we only have about 20 minutes, so.
Okay, we better get going here.
The hour just goes so fast, I can't believe it. I think maybe
there's so
much
to talk about, though, really, with the news.
There is.
And prophecy and getting everybody up to speed, getting me up to speed on a lot of the stuff.
There
too.
Is. So. Now, 40 years after leaving Egypt, and you can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Around verses 7 and 8, Moses recalls God's instructions to the children of Israel. He says, go get the land. Why don't you read that, John?
Okay. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them.
And in Deuteronomy 28, God tells them, if you do as I say, then my promises I will keep, and you will stay in your land. But if not, you will be persecuted and lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And
they did not
stay true, mm-hmm. but worshipped idols. So let's jump forward now to 100 years after the northern part of Israel, due to their idolatry, was taken over by Assyria. Now God will deal with southern Israel, who also fell into idolatry. And you would think they would have seen from the northern part not to do that. Bad, bad.
Oh, I know. They would not listen to God's prophets that he sent them.
That's right. So, after a few sieges, they were finally taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years into Babylon until, and we've already talked about Cyrus, mm-hmm. of the Medes and Persians came in and took over. It was the next empire after Babylon who, again, allowed them to go back to Israel and rebuild their temple under
Zerubbabel.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was, excuse me, whoa, what happened? It was later enlarged and made more splendid, the temple, that is, made more splendid by King Herod, of course.
Yes, and it was this temple that stood when Jesus was born.
That's the one.
After Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice and there was no need for a temple, God allowed the Romans to totally destroy it in magic number 70 A.D. And by 135 A.D., the Jews had fled from the Romans because of the awful brutality that the Romans did.
Mm-hmm.
And that diaspora was all prophesied in his word. You can read about that in Zechariah 13 and also by Jesus himself in Matthew 26. Or 24, maybe. But
I think 24.
Yeah. I don't know how 26 got in there. But God also said he will bring them back into their land in the end days as well.
He surely did.
Finally, after 1900 years, he began drawing them back.
Mm-hmm.
They were officially made a state after the Holocaust in 1948. Today there are over 6 million Jews from all tribes living in the land of Israel, and they are still coming.
Now, I have a question. Now, a lot of people think that this time that God might take them out of their land again, but aren't they back permanently now?
Well, they are, except during the tribulation they will have to go a little further south to be hidden. But technically, still kind of their land if you look at the land he gave to the forefathers.
So they don't have to really be saved nationally to grab a hold of God's promises for them, for the land in these last days.
No, he made a promise and he's keeping it whether they're saved or not.
That's right.
But they will get saved.
I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Oh.
That's why I bring that up.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we know by Romans that they will get saved as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
But
God keeps his promise. Yeah, and God's still keeping his promise. God's holding up his end of the bargain.
And Jeremiah prophesied this in chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. And I know last week we didn't get a chance to read this, so I'm going to ask you to read that tonight because it's a great scripture.
Okay, Jeremiah 16, 14 through 16. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall be no more said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back to their land, which I gave to their fathers.
Wow, that was written a awful long time before this has happened in 1948. And it's an absolute miracle that they survived enough to even come back. You know, certain tribes and, and everything. And I guess, from what I understand, all 12 tribes are back in the land. Small, but they're there. The last one was the tribe of Manasseh, and they've come back as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh, happy, happy news.
So,
yes.
So there's other scriptures to look up, and if you're taking notes, write down Isaiah 43, 5 and 6, Isaiah 49, 22, and Jeremiah 23, 7 and 8. And we mentioned that last week as well.
Isaiah 43, 5 through 6, 49, verse 22, and Jeremiah 23, 7 through 8. Okay.
And if you didn't get that, listen to the tape later this
week. That's all you have to do.
But still, Israel only has a sliver of what God originally promised them,
mm-hmm.
and only a sliver of what the British originally had promised them. And America, since 1993, has pressured Israel to give away even more land and stop all settlements and additions to their houses in the West Bank. They can't even put an addition on.
They can't put an addition on their house in the West Bank because that would take up too much room?
That's right, because they have to get ready for this Palestinian state right in the middle of Israel.
God forgive us, our country, for saying things like this, with Jerusalem as its capital. And that's why we played the song.
And that's why we played the song, because Israel contains Jerusalem, and it is their capital.
It is theirs, yes.
But let me just say, if you're able to look at a map, Jordan was originally supposed to be that Palestinian state when the British, who had previously conquered the Ottoman Empire, the British with the League of Nations divided Israel in 1922. But Jordan wanted Jerusalem because the Jews claimed it as their capital. And actually, they did get it and had it until 1967.
What happened in 1967?
A big war.
Big war, yeah.
And Israel won it back. Mm-hmm. And even after that, Israel felt sorry for Jordan and allowed them to still rule over it, although Israel ultimately has sovereignty over it, but the Jews are afraid to stand up to their enemies over Jerusalem now. It's becoming a stumbling stone, or it is.
Yeah, and that's a miracle.
Well, just getting it back was a miracle. God did that.
Yes, God did that.
And if you know about the War of 67, and if you don't, you should read about it, because it truly, truly was a miracle.
And it is becoming a stumbling stone for the whole world. Mm-hmm. And it's just
like God said.
It's this little place out in the desert. Well, anyway. Yeah.
We know that God is going to judge the nations for coming against Israel. And by coming against Israel, he specifically said in Joel 3:2, for dividing up his land and giving it to his enemies, which is the worshipers of Allah, which, of course, is the false god.
Well, read about that in Joel 3:2.
Yeah. Israel has already, besides losing the area now called Jordan, has given away Bethlehem, Jenin, Nablus, Kalkila, Ramallah, which is the PA headquarters now, Tokarm, parts of Hebron, and 450 smaller villages as part of Oslo and the Y agreement between 93 and 99. And then gave away all of Gaza in 2005. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Wake up, America. This doesn't work.
No. Why don't the government see that? Netanyahu says absolutely no to dividing Jerusalem. And that was his campaign promise.
And now, who's going to... Is anyone listening to that?
I don't know. What do you think? Will he?
I don't know.
Who will prevail, huh?
I know God will prevail.
Well, regardless, if they do divide Jerusalem eventually, and they probably will, because I think that's part of what's going to bring God's judgment.
Isn't it divided in a sense? I mean, now,
yeah,
I mean,
it
has its boroughs, like New York, it has its little areas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because when I was over there, I would walk from the Muslim quarters into the Jewish quarters, and it was like night and day. Night and day.
Night and day.
It's just amazing. Anyway.
But you're saying that, you know, the nations now, they want to divide up Jerusalem and have control over
it. They do. They want to make it an international city.
An international city. And so they might even say, to tell the Jews themselves, you're going to need a passport to visit your capital.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I can.
I don't want to, but.
But anyway, lots of things are going to be happening. Ezekiel 36:1-8, we don't have time to read those, but I hope that you will, because the verses are really for today, pointing out how the nations have given his land, God's land, to the enemy, and he's burning with jealousy. God also states how Israel is taken up by the lips of talkers. I just think that's amazing. And have let themselves be a possession of the nations.
Like the UN.
Ezekiel refers to Edom, which I conclude are the descendants of Esau, who settled in Mount Seir in Edom, and now in Israel.
And these are the Palestinians.
I think so.
That's what you said. And
they are.
We've covered that material.
Yeah, we've actually
show.
Did the genealogy of it and everything.
Yeah. I learned a lot on
The thing about it is that the Palestinians really can't even stand up to Hamas, who has taken over the Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
So why does the United States still want to negotiate with the PA? Now, we haven't in a while because of all the turmoil.
Right.
But PA doesn't have anything to do with it. It's Hamas, and they will not make any concessions whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, the entire chapter of Obadiah foretells of Edom's destruction. And we studied that, like I said, on a past program. That you can find that. I don't know where.
Yeah.
It's archived there, though.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone?
Enemies are going to all be gone, actually.
Hmm.
And it's not as if God hasn't judged nations before for cursing the descendants of Jacob. Look at what happened to England after they expelled all the Jews in 1290.
1290.
I'm sorry.
1290. You are so into the future. I'm just...
Yeah.
But and the date, it was...
It was the 9th of Av on the Hebrew calendar, which is the anniversary date of the destruction of both temples. So not a good day. After that, though, after England did that, their prosperity and world power fell dramatically until they finally granted the Jews permission to come back and resettle in 1657, and then England's power rose once again. It was just, it's just like so obvious.
Now, what about Spain?
Spain, too, also on the 9th of Av in 1492, expelled the Jews, and gosh, there was about 800,000 of them.
Right.
From that point, the Spanish Empire's fortune began to decrease significantly. And by the way, a few years ago, Bill Koenig wrote a very specific book called Eye to Eye. You can get it. And it details, with dates, significant catastrophes that occurred soon after anti-Israel events were initiated by the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You talk about connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm.
That book connects some dots.
God said, if you bless Israel, I will bless you. And if you don't, you will be cursed.
Yeah.
And it happens time and time again.
It sure does.
And now we see the United States as the primary mediator in pushing Israel to give even more land away, as they did in Gaza. And what an example is that?
Yeah.
And again, as I said, Hamas isn't agreeing to anything. And
of course not.
We'll see what happens.
Well, this is serious stuff.
Yes.
And we're living it. And that's why I said
we
should be praying for our country, because the leadership, they're making decisions that are putting you and I in jeopardy.
True.
Because God's not going to stop judging the nation because Sheila and John are here.
That's right.
You know?
But we have a president who doesn't give a hoot about Israel.
Yeah.
And has asserted that Iran, they have a right to access peaceful nuclear power. He actually said that a couple years ago.
Oh.
When everyone knows Iran's motives are not for running light bulbs.
Oh, my goodness.
And do we realize how much Israel has done for America? We don't hear much on this. And I think we have a couple of minutes. I would just like to share a couple examples. But it would be difficult to estimate the value that the United States gained from the Russian military hardware that Israel has captured and gave to America. In the 1967 Six-Day War alone, Israel gave to the United States captured Soviet tanks, aircraft, and missiles, which were used for the United States Air Force and naval training in America's top military schools.
Hmm.
The Israeli use of our American aircraft that we sold to them has actually helped us, because they showed us how to upgrade them by uncovering the weaknesses, which has helped to defeat a parade of Soviet-supplied air defense systems and found ways to penetrate Soviet equipment and tactics.
And there's a lot more. And remember in the early 80s, Israel bombed an Iraqi nuclear
reactor? That's right.
Nuclear
you could get a lot of trouble with that.
I think I forgot about that one.
Yeah. But, gosh, we're running out of time. But Israel has been a great help to America. For us to just push them aside like Obama's doing is just a very, very sad thing.
Well, it's sad, and too, it makes me, although I know we're not supposed to be worried, I should say concerned about what could happen.
I'm supposed to worry, you're right. But who are we fighting, John? It's not flesh and blood.
No, we're fighting wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places.
In Ephesians 6, you can read all about that. And again, Satan hates Israel. He hates the Christians. Satan even has our own American leaders in the Pentagon. They were burning Bibles about a year ago because they thought it might go to the Muslims because it was written in their language. Well, the Muslims don't have to take them, and yet they still all got burned.
Wow.
But the Muslims can give Korans to our American prisoners. Outrageous.
That is outrageous.
And in California, a couple is told they must stop having Bible study in their home. They need special, costly permits. And it just goes on and on.
Hmm. Well, you can see, listeners, that the times we live in are definitely times where you want to be careful. And you want to make sure you know where you're going. And if Jesus isn't Lord of your whole life, that would be a good time to make him out. Make him Lord of your life, wouldn't it?
That's right. That's right. But let me ask you, all the scriptures that we gave last week and the scriptures that we gave tonight, looking back at history, How could anyone say that Israel has no rights to a homeland?
No.
With the capital of being Jerusalem.
Oh.
Where stood their magnificent two temples? And yet today, as prophesied by Zechariah over two millennia ago, that Jerusalem is that big boulder, that stumbling stone. But we just keep making agreements with the enemy that they will never adhere to. Never, never, never. And Iran won't either. We are in spiritual warfare, and that's just the way it is. So keep your armor on, and we're going to have to say goodbye.
Yeah, we will. But before we do, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, now would be a good time to do it. A head knowledge isn't going to cut it. You got to have that heart conviction, and it's easy to do. Just get on your knees. Apply the blood of the Lamb to your heart. Repent, particularly of those individual sins that are still lingering in your life. You know what they are, and they're weighing you down. And you know, Jesus will take them away. You'll be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, he says, they shall be as white as snow. And only God can do that. So just get on your knees right now. Commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior. He's the Savior of the world. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. God sends no one to hell. You decide that for yourself.
You really do.
Yeah, and where your soul goes, that never dies. And you can choose where you want that soul to go. Where you, right?
And after you've done that, fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep. For he is the Great Shepherd.
The Great Shepherd we read about in Isaiah, too.
That's right.
Well, we're going to give you the Aaronic blessing tonight and bless all you folks, our listeners. Yevrechaka Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom till next Tuesday.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.